Have you ever experimented with the occult? If so, what happened in these experiences and how did you feel about what took place during those times? I know there's a lot of people who probably wouldn't admit that, but off and on somebody has either played with a Ouija board. Some people have said they actually saw results and whatnot, but is that something that you've ever done? Yeah, I want to pose this question to you today. Why do you think there is so much fascination with the occult today? We're going to take a look in the scriptures in just a minute at Saul as he consulted a medium out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28. You won't want to miss this. Grab your Bible. Come on back. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina's Bible study. We're glad that you're joining us today. I mentioned a moment ago, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on in your Bible with me to the book of 1 Samuel. That's an Old Testament passage, 1 Samuel chapter 28. We're going to be looking at several passages out of there today where Saul actually consulted with a medium. Now, if you're not sure what we're talking about when we say a medium, we're talking about dealing with witchcraft and that sort of thing, which actually was a pretty big deal back in the Old Testament days, much like it is in our current day and age. So let's look on over in our passages. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 28, beginning with verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 28, beginning with verse 3. It says, "Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritualists out of the land." Verse 4, "Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shurim. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw that the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And the servants said to him, 'In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor.' So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went. And two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, 'Please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you.' Then the woman said to him, 'Look, you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and the spiritualists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die?' And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, 'As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing.' Then the woman said, 'Whom shall I bring up for you?' And he said, 'Bring up Samuel for me.'" Verse 12, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped his face toward the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do." Then Samuel said, "So why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Whoever the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, I want to come to you now thanking you and praising you for this day, Lord, for the opportunity to just be able to gather and share your word. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts in such a fashion that we will truly seek out the Holy Spirit during this time. Lord, I pray that you would be with us in a very special way. Teach us some things this day that maybe we didn't know before. Help us to understand your perspective on these things, particularly concerning mediums and witchcraft and divination and those sort of things. Lord, also help us to understand what it means to be totally and wholly obedient to you when you have led us in a direction. Lord, I ask that you would be with this, your servant, for these moments, that you and you alone truly would be high and lifted up. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, we look at a pretty interesting passage that actually is dealing with what we started off with. Remember when I began our Bible study, I asked you if you had ever experimented with the occult. And if you had, what were the results of that? What happened and what experiences and feelings did you have toward that? And then I also posed the question to you, why is it that you think that there is so much fascination with the occult today? Now, in the story that we just read in our passages today out of the book of 1 Samuel, King Saul consulted a medium at Endor. Now, remember, a medium is somebody who practices, you know, witchcraft or divination, or something contrary to what the Word of God tells us. You know, the Word of God says that we should stay away from those things. I'm going to show you some of those scriptures in just a few moments. There are a lot of people through my ministry that have asked me, is there a problem with doing these things? Is there a problem with, you know, seeking the spirit world when it comes down to something like, you know, seances and Ouija boards and those sort of things? And the Bible clearly points it out, folks. This is something that is in black and white, and after our Bible study today, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. So I want to encourage you, if you don't have a, you know, a pen and some paper to write on, make sure you'll get the verses that are going to be coming to you a little bit later on, particularly if this is something that you have questioned or dealt with in your life. So today's story, King Saul has consulted a medium at Endor, and there was a circumstance that provoked King Saul to consult this medium, and we find that in our scripture text in verses 3 through 7. Now, what was taking place was Saul actually sought the Lord. And it's very interesting what we find in these passages, because some of you have been in this place before. So when we get down there and we start to look at those beginning at verse 3, it said, you know, Samuel the prophet had died, and Israel was lamenting over him. They had buried him. And Saul, now this is very important. In verse 3, we actually see that King Saul put the mediums. He had a good relationship going with the Lord, and he had actually put the mediums and the spiritualists out of the land. In other words, he said, this is not something we're going to put up with. This is not something you can do. All you mediums, you're out of business. That's basically what he said. Now, verse 4 of that text says, then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. Remember, the Philistines were their enemy, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. Verse 5, when Saul saw that the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. Saul realized, he looked at the Philistines, he was afraid of that army. So fear does a lot of things in our lives. You know, there are times that it will push us to do things that we never ever thought we would have done. So you have to understand, Saul is afraid at this point. He is afraid of the army of the Philistines. Now, verse 6 says, Saul inquired of the Lord. He did a great thing. At this particular point, Saul went to the Lord and asked him, you know, and what happened was he didn't hear anything. It says, look at verse 6. It says, now when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. In other words, God was silent. You know, he was not giving Saul any indication of what he should do, which way he should go. And Saul did exactly what you and I tend to do when we're dealing with circumstances and situations. He got impatient. Now, when Saul got impatient, we see in verse 7 what he did. It said, and then Saul and his servants, Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her. And it's ironic because Saul was the one who put the mediums out. Now he's saying to his servants, you go find me a medium. You know, the ones that I, you know, kind of kicked out. And then, of course, his servants, obviously, at the latter part of verse 7 said, and his servants said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So what it was that prompted Saul to do this was he was not hearing from the Lord when he felt like he should be hearing from the Lord, and he got impatient. Now, is that what you've done? Maybe those times when you actually sought some sort of a medium to find out some things. Now, some people will tell me that have actually spoken with me about seeking a medium. They said, well, I was just curious. You know, I played with the Ouija board. I was curious. I sought a medium. I had my palm read. I had all these different things that were going on. Now, there were some who went and sought a medium in a serious matter. And there, I can't tell you how many times they said, well, I wasn't hearing anything from the Lord. What happened was they got impatient. Folks, you cannot be impatient with the Lord. The Lord is going to answer you in His time and in His way. You've got to be patient with Him. So what happens, Saul in our passage today, you know, seeks a medium at Endor, remember the ones he put out, and the circumstances that provoked that was his impatience with the Lord because he had not heard from Him. Now, let me pose this question to you. Do you think Saul knew that it was wrong to do this? Think about it for a minute. I believe that the answer to that question is emphatically yes. I mean, if Saul didn't find any problem with mediums before and God didn't find any problem with the mediums, why did he lead Saul to actually, you know, clear them from the land? Why was it that Saul said, you cannot seek mediums anymore? Because there was a time when Saul said, no, the one I need to seek is God Almighty Himself. We don't need to go in anywhere outside because those things aren't real. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that I was going to give you some scripture text that talks about God's disposition when it comes down to consulting with mediums. And we're going to look at some things that were in the law. Now, I also want to tell you, God has not changed His mind. I know that these are some Old Testament passages. This is what the law said, but God hasn't changed His mind about this whatsoever. Now, as I read through about three of these different passages with you, and I'll give you what they are. I'm going to ask you the question, what is a medium and what does God clearly say about consulting mediums? It's answered in these passages. The first ones that I want to give you, and if you want to write those down, is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. Once again, that's Leviticus 19, 31. And this is what it says. It says, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now, that's pretty clear. That's black and white. That particular scripture verse right there says exactly what, you know, it gives you your answer. If you're sitting there saying, hey, is it all right for me to seek mediums? Is it all right for me to have my palm read? Is it all right for me to seek the future, to call up spirits of the past? That right there tells you, do not seek after them. To be defiled by them. Now, there's another passage I think I gave you 19. This will be Leviticus 19, 31. Okay, that's the one I just gave you. So you've got that one. Then Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. Okay, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6 says, and the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits, to prostitute himself with them. I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Did you get that? That's, once again, very, very clear. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. That's pretty strong language. It's pretty clear. The Lord is telling us, do not consult with mediums. You just don't do it. And then there's Leviticus 20:27 is another verse. Leviticus 20:27. That says, a man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. That's pretty strong language. Notice it says a person who is a medium or a familiar spirit shall be put to death. Folks, God didn't change his mind between the Old Testament law and a New Testament grace. He still has and holds that same thought and feeling about people who do these things. Now, let me give you one more passage of scripture that comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verses 9 and following. This is what it says. It gives you a little bit of commentary on it, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. Here we go. It says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. They shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or soothsaying, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Did you get that? As a matter of fact, it mentions all those particular things that sometimes people seek today, that people sought in the days of the Bible, and even what we're reading about Saul seeking a medium today. And the Lord says, do not do it. He even calls that by name. He says in a couple of ways. Number one, he names a medium in this particular scripture. He called in verse 11, he says, or a spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead. What was it that Saul was asking this medium at Endor to do? To call up Samuel, the prophet who had gone on before him. And so what is it that what was the Lord's attitude in these scriptures? Verse 12 says, for all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Okay, so God has not changed his mind in regard to these things. He has not changed his mind in light of what is taking place and in light of what's going on. So if you're curious about that these days and you say, well, what does God think about it? Well, there are your scriptures. I just gave you, three different subsets of scriptures that tell you how God felt about it during the days of the law. And like I said, remember, we've used that statement before because it's true of the Word of God, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed his mind about the seeking of mediums. So now that you've got more of an idea about how God feels about it and what mediums are, why is it that you think God forbids such practices? Yeah, we've clearly stated and see in the scripture that he does. So why do you think God forbids that? Well, first of all, you're not seeking him. God wants to be the one who is leading your life. God wants to be the one who is controlling your life. And I don't look at that in a bad way, because a lot of people say, well, I don't want anybody to control my life. God's got a plan for you. It's a good and it's a perfect plan. And when you conjure up foreign spirits from the other side, listen, if you're not talking to God, then you're talking about the other side. You're talking about Satan and his henchmen. And remember what Satan is. He is the father of all lies. You know, God himself is pure and perfect, but the word tells us that Satan himself even wants to transform himself into an angel of light. So he's going to appear to be that good, that what he's telling you is for good and that he is good, when obviously that's not the case. And God said, even in the days of the Old Testament, don't prostitute yourself to these spirits. You call on me. I want to take care of you, and I want to do what's good and what's wholesome and what is right. Okay? Think about this, man. The occult is dangerous. The occult sucks people in. The occult drives people. And you know what one of the biggest ways that they recruit people is? They love them. You know, they do something that for some odd reason the church has trouble with today. They embrace people for who they are and where they are. Now, that doesn't mean that a person should stay that way. When a person comes to know the Lord as their Savior, the Holy Spirit within them should convict them of the sin. That's not up to me and you to do. That's up to the Holy Spirit to do as they walk in the newness of life. It is up to them to change in a way that is pleasing to God and that is pleasing to the Scriptures. But you know what our job is? Our job is to love them. That's the reason why the occult gets such a tremendous following, is because people love them. You know, I've actually spoken with people who were parts of an occult before. I've actually spoken to them about why it was that they got involved in it. And they said, every one of them said the same thing. They loved me for who I was. They accepted me for who I was. And because of that, I changed into what they wanted me to be, even though they knew it was wrong. In many cases, they knew it was wrong. They wanted to be where love is. I've said to our church, and I'll say this to any church, if we actually loved people like we should love them in a biblical manner, man, there would be people hanging on the doorknobs trying to get into a place. Trying to get into the house of worship, trying to get where they are loved. And that's a simple task. It really is a simple task not to judge people. So the occult is something that is very dangerous, and it is extremely dangerous. So why do you think that Saul disguised himself in verse 8 of our text when he went to the medium? Well, obviously, he didn't want anyone to know, number one, that he was seeking a medium. Number two, Saul was the one who had driven all the mediums out of the land. So if somebody was practicing spiritualism or practicing being a medium underground, then obviously they wouldn't want to have an audience with Saul, who had driven them out of the land. So he had to disguise himself. He didn't want anybody to know who he was. When you think about that, that's the reason why when he went to this particular lady, he did a good job with his disguise. Because the lady medium at Endor didn't know who he was when he first approached her. Now, it's really interesting what she said, you know, when he approached her and said, you know, I want you to call up a spirit for me. And she actually said, hey, wait a minute, you know that Saul has told us we're not supposed to be practicing such a thing. We're not supposed to be calling up spirits. We're not supposed to be doing these things. And it almost seems like you're setting me up. This is what the witch, they call her the witch at Endor, said to him. Says, it kind of seems like you're setting me up, because you know what Saul the king has said in regard to this. And he makes her a promise. You know, nothing is going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Now, think about this for a minute. Saul returned to the past. Remember, there were mediums. He had driven them out. Now he's turned back to the past. Why do you think, or what do you think, causes someone to return to a past sin? You know, I think one of the things is that people get comfortable in their sin. They look at it and they know what the norm is. They know what the expectations are when things like that happen. They're like, well, I did it before. I can do it again. I can find some answers. And Saul was seeking answers. He said, well, you know what? God's not talking to me, so I'm going to seek answers elsewhere. Is that not what we do? Do we not do that along the way? We turn away from God. Folks, we need to be patient with God. We need to wait. Now, Saul's situation is a little bit different because of his past sin and the punishment that God was meting out on him. So when you think about how that medium responded, she says, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this for you. But think about her response when she first saw the spirit of Samuel. Now, remember, up to this point, the medium doesn't realize that she is dealing with King Saul one-on-one. And in our text, verses 10 through 14, actually tell us what happened. It says in verse 10, it says, "And Saul swore by her," that being the medium, "and the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing," meaning to call up the, you know, to call up Samuel for. Verse 11 says, "Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me." Verse 12, "When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." She knew at that point, everything had been revealed to her, what was going on, what was taking place. She felt like she had been deceived, and she said, "You are Saul." Once again, Saul the king said to her in verse 13, "Do not be afraid. Tell me what you saw. What did you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "It's an old man coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. In other words, Saul was trying to figure out, based on his appearance, whether or not it was actually Samuel that she had called up. And when she described to Saul who it was, and Saul determined that it was Samuel, it says that he stooped down with his face to the ground, and he bowed down. And then we're going to get to the interesting conversation between the two of them in just a minute. When you think about the lady, the medium, the witch, why do you think she was so surprised and fearful? Well, she was surprised and fearful because she was dealing with people she didn't think she was going to be dealing with. Saul, who had driven the mediums out, and Samuel, who was the prophet who had died before. She was even fearful at that point. And it goes on, it talks about Samuel's appearance. It said that he had a mantle or a robe. Now, here's an interesting question, and this one has been debated by a lot of people for many, many years, and I'm going to give you my take on it as well as Warren Wiersbe's here in just a moment. The question is, do you think that this really was Samuel? Now, there's a lot of people who will say, no, it wasn't Samuel because the word says you can't do this, or you can't call people back up. There are people that say, yes, I believe it really was Samuel. So I want you to think about that for just a moment. What side of that debate do you fall on? Do you think that this really was Samuel or not? Now, I want to give you, and I'm just going to read it to you because Warren Wiersbe said it far better than what Roy Carter could, when it comes down to this particular position as to whether or not this really was Samuel that the medium called up. Warren Wiersbe points out in Wiersbe's expository outlines of the Old Testament, he says this, and I'm just going to read it to you. It says, it's quite another picture when we look at Saul's midnight visit to the witch's house in chapter 28. Samuel was dead, but even when he was alive, his ministry was not appreciated by Saul. How sad when people discover their real friends too late. Saul's only resource was to visit a witch, and this was prohibited by law. That's at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6 we were talking about. It is alarming to what ends people will go when they have turned their back on the Lord. There have been endless debates over the matter of Saul's appearance at the call of the witch. It seems likely, so here's the answer to that question. It seems likely that, number one, Samuel's coming was of the Lord and not because of the witch's art. Number two, the witch was surprised when Samuel appeared. And number three, Samuel came because he had a special message for the king from the Lord. The witch could not have impersonated Samuel in league with someone else, since she did not know that Saul was coming. Nor is it possible that Satan could have accomplished this feat, since God would not allow Satan to deliver such a weighty message, nor would the Lord put his approval on a practice, his word condemned. The witch becomes a mere spectator once Samuel is on the scene. It is likely that Saul heard Samuel's words, verse 20, but did not see Samuel's form, verses 12 through 14. back in chapter 15, verse 35, and chapter 16, verse 1, Samuel's separation from Saul had been accomplished, and the king would see him no more. It is unbelievable that King Saul, a man chosen by God, could ever practice in so wicked a deed. Yet the record is there. Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Saul walked in darkness, not in light. He disguised himself, yet was actually revealing his true character. He allowed a woman to break the law. He brought shame and defeat upon his nation, his army, his family, and himself. Now, I tend to go along with what Warren Wiersbe says in regard to that situation. I don't believe it was the fact that the medium or the witch in Endor was able to call him up, but God had a message to speak to Saul through Samuel, and I believe that this was at the hand of God that this thing took place. So if you want to land on one side of that debate or the other, that's great, but just know why you land on it. This is some really good backup from the scripture as to the fact that God is not going to use anything that he's already condemned, but I do believe this was an appearance of Samuel by the hand of God, not conjured up by a medium, but also to let Saul know where he stood, what was taking place, and what his ultimate demise was going to be. See, we know that demonic spirits are real, but it is extremely rare for the spirit of a departed saint to return to earth. It just doesn't happen. Now, notice what I said. I didn't say that it's impossible. I said it's extremely rare. Okay? Can you think of any other instances in the Bible where some things like this happen? Yeah, think about it for just a moment. There is, for the sake of time, we'll get into those another day. Yeah, so why do you think God would permit the spirit of Samuel to return to Saul in this instance? Well, we mentioned it a moment ago, because he had a message that he needed to get to him. You know, in other words, Saul's time was up. If you remember what the message was, you know, because of your disobedience, the Lord has torn the kingdom from you and given it to your neighbor, David. Remember, David would be the king that would succeed Saul. God had already, you know, earmarked David to be king. And of course, there's a lot of really good stuff coming up, so you want to hang with us as you read your chapters going forward. But Samuel got some bad news. You know, I mean, Saul gave some bad news. Saul got some bad news from Samuel. There we go. We'll get it right. And the bad news was pretty much it was over. That's verses 15 through 19 in our text as we're going forward. He told him what was going to happen. He said, matter of fact, he actually said, you and your sons will be with me tomorrow. In other words, what that means, you're going to die. You're going to be where I am tomorrow, and the kingdom is going to be going to your neighbor David. Okay, from this story and other teachings in the Bible, why should we never ever experiment with the occult or seek out departed spirits? Well, let me give you the greatest reason of all. Because God told us not to. God said, you know, when you start playing around in those areas, those are not the good spirits. Those are occultic spirits. They are spirits opposite of who God is and what he is. Do not play with it. Just flat out don't do it. Turn away from it. Run away from it. Do not entertain it in your mind. And I know so many times people have said to me, they're like, well, Preacher Roy, I only did that for entertainment. I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter how it starts, it can suck you in. And the next thing you know, you are part of that spiritual realm, which is not a godly spiritual realm. How many times did God say to Israel, don't have anything to do with those people? It wasn't because of the color of their skin. It wasn't because of anything other than the fact that they did not follow God. God said, if you go over there and you begin to start to mix on a continual basis with ungodly people, unfortunately, their unspiritual lifestyle is going to rub off on you more so than your spiritual lifestyle is going to rub off on them. Now, there are exceptions to that rule, obviously, but it's kind of like the old expression that mama always taught you that said, if you lay down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. There you go. That's what that old adage points to. Okay. Now, there is a positive side of this story. And on the positive side, There's good news that is reinforced by this story about the death of God's people. And you know what that is? That there is life after death. There is the place called heaven. And as a born-again believer, you will spend the rest of eternity in the place that is there's no more sorrow, there's no more suffering, there's no more tears, the place where the Lord has prepared for us, that where He is, there we may be also. So listen, that's the only spirit that we need to be seeking today, is the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us along our way. Listen, if you're calling out to God and you're not hearing from Him right now, I'm going to encourage you to be patient and wait. I want to encourage you to wait on His timing, because He is going to answer you in His time. Now, if you're like I am, I don't like it in the midnight hour. I don't like my answer to come when there's only a second or two left on the clock. But yet often that's how God will answer. But He will answer. His answer will be in time, and it will be for your best interest. Continue to seek Him. Continue to call out for Him. What we need to do is we need to pray and give God praise for the reality of life after death, and for believers who have died and are already with the Lord, that are already enjoying the greatness of His kingdom. I mean, I know each and every one of us have some loved ones who have passed on. But realize this, when they died, as we say it here on earth, you know, their life may have gone out of their body, but their soul continues on. They're very much alive. They're very much well, and they're enjoying all the spoils of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, we're going to have that prayer here in just a moment, but I want to go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week will be. This week, we're going to be reading the book of 1 Samuel chapter 31. Through 2 Samuel chapter 4. Once again, that is 1 Samuel chapter 31 through 2 Samuel chapter 4. And next week, we will see how David has a rival king. Remember, Saul's successor would be David. And then when we get into these passages, there is a rival king. So you'll want to read up on those, and you'll want to join us next week. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to You now, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that You hear our prayer. Lord, we're thankful that the only mediator between us and You is Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we have access to the throne. Lord, even as we speak right now, we know that You hear our voice. Lord, we're thankful for the reinforcement of the fact that there truly is life after death in the place that You have gone to prepare for us. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will take heed of the warnings that You have been giving from the days of the Old Testament all the way through to the present, not to be seeking witchcraft or soothsayers or mediums or those who divine up old spirits. For Lord, those are contrary to Your word. Those are contrary to Your kingdom. And we have read that in plain black and white text. Lord, help us to be faithful to that. Help us to be faithful to You. And Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity that You want what's best in our life. And if we just trust You, and sometimes that means waiting on You, Lord, help us to wait on Your word, to wait on Your will, to wait on what You want to happen in our lives, that we might be in accordance with Your will and Your way. Lord, we pray that You'll give us a great week as You send us out to those that are in a lost and dying world. May we be a word of encouragement. May we be a word of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, use us as Your hands and Your feet. That's what we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, folks, I want to thank you for joining us for this Bible study. We trust and pray that your heart has been blessed today. If you happen to live in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love for you to join us at Central Baptist Church. Our services start at 10:45. We do have other things that are taking place and going on in the midst of the church, from Sunday school to small groups. You come at 10:45, catch up with us. We'll let you know all that's going on in a place where you can connect and where you can fit in. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday morning. God bless and have a great day.